Welcome to The Debrief, the program's corporate podcast. I'm Brady Turnage. A debrief should occur at the end of any operation where an organization discusses who and what went well and who and what needs to improve. It's the single best way an organization gets better, and typically, teams don't debrief. Even if you aren't in corporate America, the lessons learned and topics discussed on The Debrief apply to any team in any arena. Today, I'm joined by a great friend and an even better teammate, Jamie Slife. Jamie, today we are discussing mastering fundamentals. Before I turn you loose, I'd like to start with a definition of fundamental. So Jamie, as an adjective, fundamental is defined as serving as or being an essential part of, a foundation or basis, basic or underlying. And as a noun, a basic principle, rule, law, or the like that serves as the groundwork of a system or an essential part. So Jamie, you use this term a lot, and I'll kind of kick it over to you with brilliant at the basics. So let's use that as somewhat synonymous with fundamental. So Jamie, give me some examples that you've seen with our clients or in your personal life of what a fundamental is.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at those definitions, everything goes back to, you know, when you and I were first talking about a fundamental, what's the thing I think about when I think about fundamental? It's basic. It's basic. You know, my nephew called me up the other day, and he recently graduated from EOD school. So proud of him. He was talking to me about his team leader. His team leader came up to him and started talking to him. And he, you know, he was real kind of broing out. And I told my nephew, I said, because they used the word term big boy rules. And I told my nephew, I said, like, it raises the hackles on the back of my neck, right? The hairs on the back of my neck. When he says big boy rules, because nothing more, big boy rules is nothing more but brilliance in the basics. And I think whenever you look at any type of organization, the basics fall back to what is your overall mission statement? What are your overall values that you honor? And what are the standards that define those values inside of a family, right? Inside of a wife, a husband and wife. And I start looking at that, you know, there's some integrity is a huge thing, right? Because integrity develops trust. So trust is a huge foundation inside of your family dynamics. But it's really kind of synonymous with any team that you're on, having a trust factor. When I start thinking about the basics, it's brilliance in the basics. My son is a wrestler. When he starts talking about wrestling, he comes in one day and starts telling me about, I can do this move, and I can do this move, and I can do this technique. And I specifically said to him, I said, that's great. That's great. But before you start practicing that technique, let's get brilliance in the basics, which is stance, right? Our stance and our footwork and lowering our levels. Let's make sure that we understand the brilliance in the basics. And so when I look at fundamentals, mastering the fundamentals, it should, for me, it means nothing more than mastering being a brilliance in the basics, brilliant in the basics. That's what it comes back to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring up a couple of good ones. Trust in a family, right? We could have a family and we all love each other and we do fun things together, right? You know, whether it's going camping or on a cool vacation or something out in the backyard or whatever it is. And we could have a great house and the kids do great in school and mom and dad have these cool jobs. But man, if we're missing that core fundamental of trust, we're going to have some problems and we're going to have some major problems, right?
Yeah. Sorry. I couldn't get my rookie mistake. Couldn't get off mute. 100%. I think when you start looking at trust, I mean, think about what trust lies within the family dynamic, just with your wife, right? Whether it be infidelity or whether it be financially or whether it be anything, you know, I'm sleeping with one eye open, right? Trust with our kids. You know, if you're on the first floor, like wondering if your son's going to be sneaking out or your daughter's going to be sneaking out the window. Trust. As soon as they do that, then now we have to build that back up. So trust is a true, you know, so it's a fundamental of every relationship. And we have to establish that by letting them know, hey, these are the standards in which we build trust, because we've got to lay those lines up. Because you don't tell them, you know, now a basic, like, you know, like, trust is needs to be within a relationship. But what does trust mean? You know, that means we don't do a few things. And I think a lot of times, though, Brady, I think people believe that it's just assumed. I know that I don't do that. But I think sometimes we have to define it. I think sometimes we have to define what it looks like. That's why I say, hey, here's your value and here's the standard. And maybe it's trust on this one, but what about honor? What if somebody said, well, honor's mine inside of this family? You know, yeah. One of my fundamentals is honor. Well, what does that mean to you compared to what does that mean to me? And define some of those standards. And I think that that's where we kind of fail when it starts something. When it comes to trust, I think we can all kind of formulate what it looks like. But when we start talking about other ones, you know, integrity and honor and loyalty, and I think we kind of have to have some standards that are kind of defining what that value means, so that we can kind of put ourselves, and so we're speaking or communicating in the same language.
Yeah. So you bring up a great point here, right? We start off by saying that fundamentals are basic, a basic rule, a basic groundwork. It doesn't mean they're easy, and it doesn't mean that, well, I mean, trust is pretty basic, right? But you may have a different idea of what it means to trust on our team than what my idea is. So I think we need to start with a common definition of whether it's trust or a stance in wrestling or how we do a certain thing in a warehouse or on a job site. We have to have common definitions. Jamie, with some of our corporate clients, what stands out to you as a fundamental of something that one of those organizations does or should do to be world class?
It always falls back to me. Whenever I start to think about what is holding an organization back from becoming world class, Brady, I smile or I kind of snicker about it, because it always comes back to an accountability thing. And that's our inability to be able to have a conversation with somebody, right? To hold somebody accountable to something because they did not clearly define some kind of basic fundamental. It always seems for me, what I've experienced is every organization that wants to get to world class, or every team that I've been a part of that wants to get to world class, the basic fundamental that they're missing is identifying or defining something that this person just violated. And now I don't want to have the conversation because this is awkward. So I think defining the, you know, no kidding standards, establishing good standard operating procedures, that way you know where your left and right lateral limits are. And I tell people this, Brady, is that when somebody violates, if I hear somebody violating this and I don't know it for sure, I've just heard it, I get the whole organization together, I get the whole group together and say, hey, this is what I've heard this, that there may be some violation to this. And I'll put it out to an entire group to let everybody know. Because if that one person's doing it, everybody may be doing it. And I have it clearly. I don't know them. They're doing it yet. I'm just letting everybody know, because I'm going to eventually, because when I see this happen and I find it to myself, now I can hold that person accountable to that. And everybody else knows as well that this is a violation. So I think clearly defining what the fundamentals are, I think helps people, you know, what a definition of a fundamental is. Right.
Yeah. So I hear you saying, Jamie, that across the board in the corporate clients and partners we work with, you see accountability lacking. And I agree with you. I see that. You and I've talked about this before a lot. It's the biggest thing we see lacking in many cases is accountability. And accountability to you is a fundamental piece or a fundamental value that any organization needs to be world-class.
Yeah. If you're not accountable, your organization is not going to, it's not going to succeed. It's just not. It's going to hit a plateau, or it's not going to even get off the ground if you're starting it.
Yep. I would agree with you. an example I'll use, Jamie, from one of our corporate clients is the use of safety briefs and job briefs, right? It's a single piece of paper that everybody knows about, right? We're shown this, we're demonstrated this. If we work at this company on day one, it's broken into four different sections, 1 through 4, very straightforward. It's the same brief we do every single day when we go out to a job. Yet are there instances, and you know the company I'm talking about, they're a great company. They are working on accountability. Are there instances with that job brief and that safety brief that they don't handle properly every day? Or do they have that fundamental totally dialed in, or are there some gaps there?
Yeah, you know, I think, Brady, instead of like talking about just about that one fundamental, right, let's talk about why that was even created in the first place, right? Because the reason that they probably created that job brief was probably a lack of attention to detail when they went out there. You would do it one way, I would do it another. We're missing these things. And then what happens, people were probably getting hurt at one point. So they come up with the job brief, right? And then fill it out. And then what happens is, right, when we start talking about, you know, when we start talking about trust, like violating trust, that's because you're not being consistent in your behavior. And what, you know, and one of the things that you and I talk about is the mental toughness piece, right? We help people become mentally tough. Well, one of the ways we become mentally tough is getting outside our comfort zone. But when do we make mental mistakes? When we're physically tired. Also, when complacency sets in. So let me get to that point. Complacency sets in when you're filling out the same form every single time, every single day. Ah, no big deal. I mean, you flew jets for a living, right? I was in the special operations in the Marine Corps, right, for a living. What happens when somebody gets complacent? Like injury happens. And every time when I was growing up in the Marine Corps, we had to do an operations order every single time that we went out to any type of thing, right? An operations order. That operations order is handed down from higher and then gets down to your individual section, whether I'm team one, team three. My team leader, I grew up with a team leader that he never said ask per SOP. What he would do is he would go over the standard operating procedure, and then we would go out and practice it. But you know what the other team leaders did? They said ask for SOP, and they didn't go out and practice it. And the reason why that my team leader did it is because what he wanted it to be done is hammered down to a brilliance in the basics, so that when it happened, going back to is it 10,000 times, or you know where it becomes subconscious. But he didn't want us to say ask for SOP and not it's not ask for SOP. This is what happens on contact front. This is what happens on contact left. So I think when you start talking about the job brief, the pain of regret has to outweigh the pain of discipline, meaning that we have to be disciplined in the moment or else we will have regret. And I think when somebody that fills out the job brief, you know, your job brief on whatever corporation that you're part of, right? Whether we're talking about the one that you and I know about or one that we're talking to that we may be have the opportunity of working with in the future, that we all have certain standard operating procedures and we can't assume that they know. Just like on the operations order, we can't assume it's as per SOP. No. What is the operations order? When I jumped out of a plane, what do you do when you get a contact on what happens when your parachute comes out and it's, you know, and it's not out, you know, how many attempts do you make? You have to know exactly what the brilliance is, the basics, or, you know, it's the proverbial, it's your life. And maybe it's not you jumping out of a plane, you know, with my opportunity, right? But you can injure or hurt somebody, or you may not be budget or corporate because, and then guess what happens though, Brady? If we don't fill out the job brief properly, then when that person that violates whatever was on that job brief, when he violates it, guess what he's going to do? What he or she's going to do? They're going to point the finger back at you. Well, you didn't do your job. You didn't fill this out, because it goes back to an accountability problem. We don't want to take accountability. Well, you never told me. I didn't know that that meant that, right? So I think that if you're going to take the time, if you're going to take the time to fill out a job brief, fill it out in as grave detail as possible. And then, you know, not only that, make it into a game each and every time. I think that that's how we keep from complacency setting in. You know, have somebody else, have one of your other teammates fill it out. You verify it, go over as a mentoring process. Hey, we could put this in here. Let's put this in here and add that to it. Have them give the job brief on that day. I don't think that you're violating any standards and you're overlooking it. You're creating, you're also creating a decentralized command.
Yeah.
Did I answer that question okay, Brady?
Yeah, you did. It was great. And you brought up a couple of good points, especially at the end, about make it interesting, make it, turn it into something competitive or a game. Fundamentals are, we've said it, they're basic. So we get, oh, it's just the same thing every day. It's the same job every single day. It's the same this, same process every day. Well, if we can bring a little bit of creativity to it and bring a little bit of fun to it, it keeps people focused on it, because maybe it's the same every day, but man, if we don't get it right in the world you and I came from, it can kill us. And in the business arena, man, it can cost us a key client a lot of money, a setback on a schedule or a timeline or something like that. You know, as you were talking, Jamie, you're talking about jumping out of an airplane. You did that as part of your special operations career in the Marine Corps. Your mission wasn't to jump out of an airplane.
No.
Jumping out of an airplane was just getting you to the job.
That's right.
For me, taking off and landing on aircraft carriers, that's not our mission. That's right. Just getting to and from the job. And again, with some of the clients we work with, they drive big trucks, heavy trucks with trailers, with, you know, big blind spots and equipment hanging off of them. And you talk about the fundamental of driving. I mean, most of us have done that since we were 16 years old, and we get complacent because it's just this basic fundamental thing that I don't think about. But where do we have most of our mishaps? It's getting to and from the mission, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we call it insert and extract, right? Yeah, it's, yeah. With our corporate team, or I mean, with our athletic teams, we tell teams that your most dangerous time is after a big win or loss, because emotions, right?
Same exactly thing right.
Here, you know, most of our injuries are going to and from the job sites or to and from our positions of work. Most of our car accidents happen, you know, within a few miles from our own house, right? That's because we're complacent. We get into that same routine every single day, doing the same thing. You know, I tell people when it comes to my son, you know, with consequences, I say I'm consistently inconsistent with the consequences. Like, there's going to be a consequence. I'm just inconsistent with what that consequence is going to be, because I don't want him to, I don't want him to let up on, you know, because he likes to test the waters on all the standards. So.
Yeah, that's an example of what you were talking about make it a little more dynamic or a little more creative to keep, again, it keeps your son on his toes. He knows there's going to be a consequence if he strays from a fundamental of the Slife,
that's right.
The Slife family code. He just doesn't know what that consequence is going to be.
That's, you know, right.
It's funny, you were talking about your son Caleb in wrestling, and he was, you know, this move and this advanced technique, and okay, hey, let's, you know, back to the basics, buddy. Like, let's talk about stance and center of gravity. You know, as soon as you said that, I coach a high school lacrosse team, as you know, and we do our dynamic warm-up before practice every single day. And at the end of that dynamic warm-up, every day we work on stance. We spend about 3 to 4 minutes working on just getting into and out of your athletic stance, and then doing so dynamically, right? From a very explosive type of movement. And what I found when I started doing that a few years ago, most kids couldn't get properly into a stance. Their movement into or out of it was either incorrect, or once they were in it, they were in an unsafe or a weak position. And it's a basic fun, just get into a stance. It's fundamental, but we work on it every single day.
Yeah. Fundamentals in shooting is, you know, presentation of the weapon to the target. Right. You don't have to put a single set. You don't have to put a single round in the weapon. You dry practice is just as, because it's the presentation. It's the proper alignment of the front, a clear front types tip, clear front sight tips that are vertically and horizontally in the rear side aperture. Right. People lose that fundamental of a clear front sight tip. They lose that. And that is a fundamental basic. Right. It's just a basic that people aren't taught when they go first time are doing it. And I think that goes into what you're saying is like, everything has to be defined. But if we just go out there and, you know, a lot of people want to go out and, you know, go to a range and shoot one time, but how many times do they ever go right into the presentation and pull it up and try to dry fire? Right. Yeah. So it goes in back into the basics, brilliance in the basics and defining what they are. I think that's the key to it is have the conversation and don't assume. And I will tell you, Brady, in my own, when I first took over inside of an organization, I remember not doing that. I remember being kind of cavalier on it. Well, you know what this is. And it's like my nephew telling me when he went and checked into his unit for the first time and he's got, you know, his team leader, he's telling his team leader saying he's kind of cavalier. And I always feel bad because my nephew, when my nephew calls, he's telling me all about these great things. And I feel like sometimes I'm raining on his parade and I don't ever mean to, but I want him to always understand because he is very good at what he does. He's very good. And he's lived by a certain code, but I also don't want him to be tainted because how many times have we had that guy in our organization that kind of just kind of wings it and he's getting by. He's making it, man. He's in some cases, he's even the golden boy, but he's also the good old boy. Like, hey, let's bro it out. Or she's broing it out, you know, for lack of better terms, but they're not doing things 100% right. And you think, well, I can get by with that. And it kind of slides down and you're like, man, cause we're not going to say anything. Well, I'm not going to say anything. And I say that to my nephew is, I feel like sometimes I rain on his parade and I don't mean to, but I want him to understand that this guy may be broing it out with you, but when it hits the fan, because it will, you're not rising to the occasion. You're falling back on the habits you created before that moment. And also when adversity hits, I tell my boys this all the time. Like when you're around people that aren't doing things right. And typically it's my older son that's not doing the right thing, right? And typically, you know, my younger son's typically the one, but if you're not doing the right thing and you're around people that are not doing the right thing and you're around them, you're going to get shrapnel. And what I found is that shrapnel ends up becoming, it can end up being a straight up bullet. It could be life defining because no one takes accountability. They start blaming everybody. When adversity hits, everybody is self-preservation. They start pointing the finger at everybody. Well, you didn't know this. I told you this. And, you know, so go back to the brilliance of the basics is if you're doing things right, you're developing trust with inside of an organization. And I think people know when push comes to shove, just like my team inside of that unit, my team was the one that was chosen to do every mission that was real life mission during that time when there was no war. We got the real world missions because everybody knew that we were brilliant to the basics. We were, the operations order was practiced and known. Everybody knew their positions and what they were going to do. Brilliance to the basics makes you become world-class. That is the difference between a world-class organization and a not. Somebody that defines what the fundamentals and what the very basics are. Brilliance in the basics.
That's right. World-class teams do the small, simple details the same way at a very high level all the time.
That's right. That's why it's
one of the reasons why fundamentals are so important. They apply 100% of the time, no matter what. And certainly, as you're just talking about, when adversity strikes.
That's right.
And all the advanced tactics, like with your son Caleb with wrestling, all those tactics and techniques he wants to do that are advanced, they all depend upon the basics. Can I manage my center of gravity? Do I know how to get in a starting position or a stance properly in order to then do this advanced tactic?
That's right. 100%. 100%. All right.
Jamie, let's end there. We could talk about this for hours. Let's end there. Any closing thoughts on mastering fundamentals?
I always say no, and then I speak. So I'll say this. I'll say this. I will say yes. And then just remember, you know, that little saying that I put out there is something that's been in my head for a long time. I heard it. And that saying is this, the pain of regret has to outweigh the pain of the discipline. And all that means is don't regret a decision. Don't do something and have the regret later. Be disciplined in the moment. Understand what the fundamentals are. If you feel that, like, oh, they already know it, go ahead and restate it again. You're not going to ruin, I'm not going to ruin the relationship with my nephew because I said it. But what I will say this is that if I don't say it and then he ends up in this situation and I look back, if I could have said something that planted the seed that grew for him, that makes him a better defined soldier or a better defined teammate, then make sure you say it. So don't let the pain of regret outweigh the pain of the discipline. Let the understanding of discipline outweigh the pain of the regret. So thank you for having me, Brady. It's always a pleasure to be on here. And thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it.
I love it. Yeah. Fundamentals and discipline directly linked to one another. In closing, thank you for listening. You can learn more about the program at theprogram.org and by subscribing to our letters on leadership. We are on Twitter and Instagram at theprogram.org. Find us on Facebook at theprogram.org and at We Do One More. And on LinkedIn at The Program LLC. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a review. And finally, check out our book, The Program, Lessons from Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High-Performance Leaders and Teams. It is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and our website. Attack.